Implicit differentiation.
Oh. And there are two parts to this? Rational exponents, you know how to do. I'm going to remind you of it. But it's pretty straightforward. We've talked about problems like this. And I know it says the orders of implicit differentiation and rational exponents. We're actually going to do it in the other order. So you might have to remind yourself what a rational exponent is. Do you know what a rational number is? Well, it's a number that can be expressed as a fraction. It may look like a fraction, it may not. We're going to deal with fractions that do not simplify. I should have written that wrong, because an integer is technically a rational number. But you don't think of it as a rational number. You'll see rational exponents that are fractions. And how could an exponent be a fraction? How could I possibly have an exponent that is a fraction instead of a whole number?
Like a root?
Yeah, if it's a root, exactly. Any sort of radical. You're still using the generalized power rule. So if y is equal to the cube root of the square root of 12x squared minus 6, writing this as a rational exponent, that is to the 1/3 power, taking that derivative's pretty easy. What's the derivative of 12x squared to the minus 6 to the 1/3? 12x squared minus 6 to the negative 2/3 times 24x. Two areas of mistakes I see. And this is usually the lead type problem on the derivative test. And usually that the errors are, one, forgetting this, big hit. I take off 3 points out of 10 for not including du dx. Two, subtracting incorrectly isn't a huge problem. Automatically making it a negative 1/3 is a problem. It doesn't reduce to be a negative and a negative, it reduces by one, so be careful with the subtraction. And then that simplifies, what can I do? Anything?
8x.
Now, 12x squared minus 6 to the negative 2/3 is fine. I don't like it personally. I like 8x over 12x squared minus 6 to the positive 2/3. Because I feel like with this, sometimes people don't really realize that means a number in a denominator, that it's actually a fraction. The other thing is sometimes if you're going to continue on using this for some reason, there are times where writing negative exponents is going to make it a lot harder. So using positive exponents is easier.
Do you prefer if we do like the third rule
of that? No, this is fine. Here is okay. You just have to be, let's say you're doing it the AP and the question is, what is the derivative? They're going to give you this as an answer. They're probably not going to give you this as an answer.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, because I actually even read something last night. While you don't have to rationalize your answers, if a multiple choice problem includes an answer that's like an irrational number, it will be rationalized. Someone said that on a bulletin board I was reading actually yesterday. So. Okay, this one, same kind of problem. What rule would you have to use? Yeah, we're not going to do this one because what I really want to spend time talking about is implicit differentiation. Does anyone remember when we talked about implicit differentiation? Absolutely, when you can't isolate the y's. Now, I'm going to show you a problem you don't have to write down where you can isolate y's to understand why it happens or why it works. How come it works? Why? Does she mean W-H-Y? Does she mean the letter Y? But in the problems you do, you're not going to be able to isolate the Y very easily. Or you're going to want to keep it in that form because of what you're going to do after you take the derivative. Okay, so let's start with Y equals root X, which is the same thing as Y squared is equal to X. Is everyone okay with that? Okay, left-hand side, so the derivative, it's a rational function. So the derivative so dy dx equals, 1/2 x to the negative 1/2, which is the same thing as 1 over 2 root x. Fair? Now watch the right-hand side. If I take the derivative of the left is 2y dy dx, because I am taking the derivative in terms of x, not in terms of y. So the derivative of x is 1 dx dx, but we know that dx dx is 1. But since we're taking the derivative of y in some variable other than itself, you have to realize that we're saying, well, that is dy dx. Divide, and look at that. 1 over 2y, well, if y is equal to the square root of x, those are the same answer, okay? So that's a problem where you don't, that you can isolate y. And this means that whenever you take a derivative of y, tack on a dy dx. If you don't, that is a chain rule violation, minus 3. Yes. If you're supposed to do a product rule and don't include the dy dx, like the derivative of xy is not 1. It is 1y plus x dy dx. And I'll show you a similar problem. But the more mistakes you make, the more it hits you penalty-wise, so you have to be real careful. Once you tack on the dy dx, most problems are asking you to find dy dx, so you need to isolate it. And it's okay if there's y in your answer. There might be a nice easy substitution that makes the answer look good, or look the same as another method. I want to show you this problem. If I gave you that equation right there and said, find the derivative, what would you have to do on the left-hand side? Quotient rule, right? Okay, so let's run through that. As a quotient rule would be dy dx times x minus y times 1 over x squared, and the derivative of the right-hand side is 0. All right? Quotient rule. All that? Follow? Okay, cross multiply. X dy dx minus y equals 0, which means x dy dx is equal to y, which means dy dx is actually equal to y over x. That's kind of funny that my derivative came out to be the same problem I started with. Now, someone may be clever and look at the original problem and say what? Let's see what happens. Cross multiply. Y equals 3x. What does that mean dy dx is? Now, what is y over x equal to in the original problem? So let's see dy dx equal to. Okay. So what happens is there are times where you two people might do a problem different ways and get what looks like a different answer, but it's the same answer. I do want you tonight to be using implicit differentiation. We're trying to get you to practice implicit differentiation.
Would we have to on test sub of 3?
No. Nope. I'd be okay with that. Yeah. But if the other answer was 3, I'd expect you to sort of look around and say, oh, yeah, that's right. It does equal 3. Because technically it can be simplified. And I'll show you a problem where you definitely need to do that. Okay, so let's just practice your dy dx for that one. I will do it slowly. So as you finish, you can check. When I take my first derivative on the left-hand side, how many terms will I have?
4.
Why 4?
Because you have 2 product rules.
Perfect. Once you do that, isolate your dy dx. problem, you might see one of three different answers depending on your path. If you leave the dydx on the left and bring everything over, you'll get this answer. If you bring the things over but take the negative out, you'll see this answer. If you bring the dydx to the right, you'll see this answer. All the same. You don't need to write all three. Just pick one.
Okay.
Just write one.
You wouldn't have to like factor out a y or have something on, right?
Does it do you any good? If you factor a y out of the top, you get y plus 2x. If you factor an x out of the bottom, you get 2y plus x. You get y plus 2x and, oh, 2y plus x. It doesn't help you. So no, you don't have to do anything that will not help simplify the problem. You don't lose points for doing things, but you waste your time, and you end up perhaps running out of time.
All right, let's say like it does simplify, but we lose points.
Yes. Okay. Answers must be most simplified as possible. Yes. And those are algebra skills.
Yeah. I probably just make sure.
Okay, that's all right to do. Okay, find the derivative of this one. Negative root y over root x.
So if you do one big rational, radical negative square root.
Yes, yeah, that'll be fine. Just be careful when you do the next step. Yes. Now, if you had solved this for root y, you'd have to square both sides. And as you continue on with second derivatives, you have to take into account first derivatives. If you substitute in 5 minus root x in the numerator here, or negative 5 plus root x, let's say that, it gets a little messier. Now let's try the second derivative. Oh, is that, do you disagree?
Well, no, I just asked if that's what I want to do.
Now, part two. Next question is, find the second derivative. So continue on with your first derivative. Also, don't do this. When you're finding the first derivative, don't write dy dx equals unless you only have a y isolated. Some people will start taking a derivative and say dy dx equals 1 plus, and that's not right. You're finding dy dx, but dy dx doesn't equal that number. That number equals 4. I'm 0.
I was just wondering, first, you know the thing we learned about the second derivative yesterday? Was it 2 days ago? That doesn't apply to
me. Narrow it down for me. What thing we learned about the second derivative? One thing I'm talking about the second derivative is the
right,
derivative.
Parametric derivative, that doesn't apply.
This isn't parametric
yeah,
because
right,
it's not
right.
x and y written in terms
right,
of t.
Okay.
So yes, this does not apply. This is a plain old quotient rule.
Why do I have a negative root x on the top?
Why do I have a negative? Because the derivative of this is negative 1 over 2 root y, so I just collect it.
Oh, okay.
Negative root y, the derivative of that is negative 1 over 2 root y dy dx. So there's my u prime v.
Oh, okay. I forgot the v. That's up.
Oh, I'm stuck. Come on. Come on, clever people. Varsity math, let's go. What can I do? I'm going to tell you right now, this problem simplifies to be five over two x root x. If you are taking the AP exam and it's a multiple choice, how in God's name are you going to know that's the answer? I don't know. Come on, help me out.
You can plug in dy dx.
Oh my gosh, it's written right there. I can plug in dy dx because I know what dy dx is. Negative root x over 2 root y. Give a, do a high five to him. Okay, can air a high five, right? Boom, very nice.
Nice.
Okay, plus, or times, oh, we just found that. Negative root y over root x. Plus root y over 2 root x over x. And let's see, that simplifies to be, negative with a negative becomes positive, root x, root y. What does that first term become? 1/2. 1/2 plus root y over 2 root x over x. Still doesn't look like the answer. I'm still stuck. Did you all eat loads of carbohydrates? You're all so blah. I know it's warm. Oh, come on. We can do it. We can do it. It's not like you're in survival. It is, but I don't see a root x plus root y anywhere. Come on, come on. You had me 2 years ago. What did I always say to do if you have fractions within fractions? Come on, people. Easiest thing you can do, clear them out. Multiply top and bottom by 2 root x. Because if I do in the top, what do I get? I get root x plus root y over 2x root x. Oh, I'm almost there. And how do you know that it's 5 over 2 root x? Because this is what you were saying here, or you're like, oh, substitute it in. This might be a more straightforward place to substitute it in. You can do it earlier. You will get to the same answer eventually. I like this, though, because I don't have a subtraction in the top of a fraction, and it makes me feel a little bit more comfortable, and if I substitute it too many times, I may get lost completely. But by clearing, and I've always told you that, clear those fractions within fractions. Those are horrible, horrible things. Horrible things. Well, they're not horrible. Someone loves them, but I don't. Conceptually, second derivatives with implicit differentiation are not hard. You're going to know how to do it. It's just the minutia. Is that an SAT word, minutia? Henry,
oh,
you look puzzled.
No, I got it.
Puzzled and puzzled
until
your
puzzle
was
sore.
Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Simply easier to do a quotient over here than a product rule.
Yeah. Then, yeah, that again. If you started this out as a product rule and then did it a product rule, I mean, if you're good at negative powers, it's going to be okay. I'm not as good as negative powers as I am as positive powers. You will get there, but it'll look different. Okay.
Will the final answer be the same?
Yes, final answer. Well, it depends on how far you simplify.
What's that? Yeah, that dance from Saturday Night Live. The guy's from Night of the Roxbury. Were you just doing the Roxbury dance?
No.
Oh, you looked like you were. You were just like... Suddenly, I'm like, is that going through your head?
Okay. one thing I do want to show you is problems where you can go and be a little more efficient, go a little quicker. If implicit differentiation problems like this are not unusual to see on the AP as the short answers, meaning the non-multiple choice. The AP is split up into two pieces. Short answer, which is split up into two pieces, and multiple choice, which is split into two pieces. In each of the pieces, one is calculator, one is no calculator. Out of, let's say, the last 10 years, I feel pretty comfortable saying 6 out of the 10 years there's been an implicit differentiation problem on the final. I think sometimes even more than 6. I'm not on the final, excuse me, on the AP exam. So it's not unusual. I want to show you a way where things can be a little bit quicker. So if I asked you specifically to find the slope at negative 1, 1 for the equation of x squared plus y squared equals 2, oh, that is a circle. Coefficients are the same, so it's a circle. Now, x squared plus y squared, you could consider it a parabola where a and b are the same. No, not, I'm sorry, an ellipse where a and b are the same. All right, so let's take the derivative. What would the derivative of this be? Equals 2. 0. Zero. Okay. This is where I'm going to say stop. Are you being asked for what dy dx is? You're just being asked for the slope at that point, right?
Isn't the slope isn't dy dx?
Well, but watch what I can do here. I'm not actually asking you to isolate dy dx. I'm actually, you know, in theory I am, but there's a quick way to do it. If I write this equation right here, can you all look at that equation and tell me what m equals?
Yeah.
It equals 1, and even if you can't, 2m equals 2, m equals 1. As opposed to pulling the 2 over, dividing by 2y, rewriting it, and then putting the points in, this is sometimes it's a little bit quicker, especially with the real crazy ones. On the AP, you might get something like this for your first round. I mean, oh, let's go, you know what, let me go back to that problem, the x squared y problem. Let's say we were doing that same thing for this problem. You would have 1y squared plus x, dy, x times 2y dy dx plus 2x plus, or 2xy plus x squared dy dx equals 0. Now, to find out what the slope is, you would be, or to find out what the derivative is, you'd actually be isolating dy dx. But let's say, and I'm going to give you a point that actually doesn't work. Yeah, 2-1 doesn't work, but let's pretend it was a different number on the other side, so 2-1 worked, okay? Look what happens here. I can just go 1 plus 2 times 2 is 4m plus 4 times 1 is 4 plus 4m equals 0. I can solve it there. A lot quicker than isolating a dy dx. And in isolating dy dx, you might have make some sign errors, things like that. Oh. So, do you see why I'm saying it's easier right here just to plug the number in?
There are no other two combination of numbers equal 2 and square, like 1, 2.
Would equal 4?
No, for the one, that one below. All the one left of the black one that we did.
There are no other points that would fit?
I'm confused with the m's and I'm.
Well, isn't m a measure of slope?
Yeah.
So, okay, let's do it this way.
X and y.
So doesn't that mean dy dx would be equal to negative 2x over 2y? The slope is always equal to negative x over y for a circle. For a circle, it's always true. Negative x over y. At this particular negative x over y, though, and again, where can things go wrong, especially if this was a multiple choice? You bring this over as a positive. You think of 2x over 2y as being 2. It happens. So. Okay. For tomorrow, next assignment, all right?